How long will this go on? Anchoring to what we know in a world full of unknowns. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our second online gathering. We got a lot of good feedback from you all last week. We're excited to be together again today. Hopefully, my voice and my lips are going to match on the video today. We are working on that, so thanks for your patience. Man, there's a lot going on in our world today. Good news, Wednesday, China reported no new cases of coronavirus, so that's hope for us. Their numbers are going way down. They're a little bit ahead of us, so we will get to the other side of this. By the way, if you're not a regular part of the Cornerstone family, we welcome you. It's good to see you popping on, people that maybe not everyone knows. Thank you for joining us. We had more people watching online last Sunday than a typical Sunday when we can meet live together. So invite your friends. Anybody's welcome. Jump in and get to know us. We're going to make the best of this situation, and we're going to get through this together. Just so we're on the same page here, I just want you to know, I'm not really thinking of these gatherings as a church service in the way that we often think of church services. And in a way, especially today, this is more like a team huddle. There's a whole lot of crazy going on, and it keeps escalating every day and every week. It keeps escalating. So this is a chance to huddle up, come together, remember who we are, and encourage each other, so we can face a crisis situation with confidence. So I'm really glad that we can see who's on and who's joined together, and you can say hi to each other. That's a really good thing. We can come together in this way, and I'm thankful for that. We're gonna try something different we didn't do last week. I'm gonna ask you for a little bit of interaction. Just at the front end of this huddle, most of you should be able to comment. Sorry, I just got distracted. Most of you should be able to comment if you're here on through Facebook. If you're watching live on our Cornerstone site, you won't be able to do that. But if you're on Facebook, on your screen, I want you to type out your answer to this question. What word best describes your emotional state this week? What word best describes your emotional state this week? We're 1 week into the national quarantine. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you're anxious, irritable. Maybe you're exhausted from the kids being home all week. Where are you at? Maybe you're relaxed. Maybe you're thankful. Just kind of looking for a baseline. Where are we at? And you guys can read those comments as they start kind of flowing down the screen, just to kind of see where everybody's at. We have to remind ourselves, we have not faced a situation like this in a very, very long time. Some of us have never faced a situation like this. I had to correct my notes because yesterday I was talking to a friend. Her name's Ruby, and she's been around a lot longer than I have, and she has been through things like this. So this isn't something that's never happened before, but it is stressful, and it's rocking all of our worlds, and we all respond differently to stressful situations. So I would expect in the comments that some people are kind of worried and a little panicky possibly, and others are approaching this with what looks like indifference. It just depends on your personality, your stage of life. If you're retirement age, you're probably a lot more worried about the stock market than if you're in middle school, and you're just wondering if you're ever going to go back to school, if you're going to get a summer vacation, if you'll ever see your friends again. But there's something else that shapes all of us as we respond to the crisis we're in. And that something else is the strength of your relationship with God. How strong is your relationship with God? Today, for the first part of our huddle together, I want to take you to a psalm in the Bible that is just really honest and very real about the hard things that life throws at us. And a psalm starts out in a place of overwhelming worry, doubt, and fear. And it's possibly where some of you are right now. But it's going to take us through that doubt, through that worry, to the other side where confidence is. And my hope is that we can follow the psalmist on that journey honestly, and we can face our uncertainties with confidence. So grab a Bible or download the Bible app, and you can open up our event So I'm going to just give you some directions. If you haven't done this before or you'd like to, the Bible app is available. We have slides in there. You can find that and follow along there. Or open up your Bible to Psalm 77. That's where we're going to hang out today. Psalm 77, anchoring to what we know in a world full of unknowns. After we work through Psalm 77, I want to take just a couple minutes to bring you up to speed with some of the connections that we've been working on this week, some of the opportunities that God may be giving us to practically serve people who are in need in the very near future, even this week. So that's going to come after our time in Psalm 77. Before we open Psalm 77, I just want to pause to pray. This is different for all of us. You're in your living room, maybe you're in your pajamas. Wherever you are, let's just stop right now and pause to join together and talk to our Almighty. Lord God, we need your help walking through this time with wisdom, with confidence. We need your peace, we need your calm, and we need to remember how great you are and how much greater you are than anything that we might face. So, Father, as we open up Psalm 77, a piece of scripture that you've given us so long ago that is still so relevant for today, God, open our understanding and help it to shape our perspective on how we go through the crisis we're in now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Psalm 77. I'm hoping we can follow the psalmist on his journey through his struggle. Psalm 77:1. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired. Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's see if we can follow this psalmist, take his journey with him. Whatever the psalmist was going through, we don't know the specifics, but we know it was hard. We know it was exhausting. We know it was a season, not just a couple hours or a day. This was a season. We're in a season too, right? And just like in the psalm, we're experiencing, some of us, sleepless nights, unanswered questions, doubt. But about halfway through the psalm, the storm clouds of doubt just break through, and he ends with this peaceful, unshakable confidence, like the stillness after a storm. And I can't say exactly where you are at this morning, but as a country, we need to take this journey, don't we? We need to take this journey through the storm to this place of confidence and peace. Have you ever had to walk across a suspended bridge? This is one in Switzerland. It might make your stomach churn just to look at it. But those bridges that start bouncing and swinging when you kind of get out into the middle, right? You know, where some people freeze up in fear and other people start bouncing up and down like Tigger and Winnie the Pooh. How do you approach a suspended bridge? Very cautiously, slowly, with white knuckles like my wife? Or are you the one who likes to scare the other people on the bridge like me? Quite a few years ago, I got to visit Victoria Falls in Zambia with my wife Anne and her family during the rainy season. And to get the best view, you kind of had to cross this footbridge that took you to a point directly across from the falls at the edge of a cliff. Just wide enough for two people to pass. And during the rainy season, this bridge was constantly getting rained on from the mist of the falls. And the bridge was built at a slight angle. So you know what constant rain does to a smooth wooden surface, right? Makes it slippery. Now, I'm pretty sure this wasn't the goal, but they effectively built a slip and slide with rails at the top of a cliff. Now, not everyone saw it that way, but I kind of liked bridges and things like that, and so I enjoyed that. Some people didn't. Well, there's the bridge at the edge of a cliff. It's a little intimidating for some people. Here's how I see our current situation. Without giving us much warning or an alternative, life has shoved us out onto this massive suspended bridge. We are all on it together. It is swinging and bouncing quite a lot right now, and none of us can see the other side yet. Some of you are pretty scared, and frankly, I don't blame you. Some are stoically and methodically making your way across the bridge, and a few out there don't even realize they're on a bridge yet. This is where we are. Now, just to be clear, this global crisis is not the kind of bridge I enjoy. We all want to get across this thing as fast as we can. Well, here's where Psalm 77 comes in. If we can absorb the perspective of this psalm and take the same journey as the psalmist that he has taken through this perspective, through this psalm, we can find strength and perspective that we need to cross this bridge that we never asked to be on. For those of you who believe in the God of the Bible, Psalm 77 can serve as a guardrail that inspires confidence, that reminds us of why we can be confident. Those of you still testing the waters of faith and the God of the Bible, this psalm might be compelling to you. Sleepless nights, unanswered questions, worry, doubt. Unfortunately, the reality is some of you are relating to this psalm in ways beyond the coronavirus crisis. You've got things that are outside of that are even bigger for you. So whatever you're going through right now, let this psalm speak to you. Psalm 77, I kind of see it breaking down into six different sections. So I kind of walk through them. I want to walk through them one at a time and just really comprehend what's going on here. Where does it start? Where does the psalm start? I cried out to God for help. It starts with God. Do you see how obviously this psalmist is going to God first? I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands and my soul refused to be comforted. He goes to God. We don't know the magnitude of his crisis, but he took it to God right away. He cries out to God for help. Some people call this prayer. And I tell you what, in times of crisis and uncertainty, we've got to be praying people. We want to train ourselves to run to God first, not last. So I want to ask you, has your prayer life intensified the last couple of weeks? I hope that it has. As the days have slowed to a crawl, and some of you have probably been watching a lot more media, what do you see yourself depending on to get us out of this mess? President Trump's promising to get every American $1,200 cash. Is your hope in the government? I hope not. Rumor has it a vaccine for COVID-19 is in testing stages. Is your hope in the medical ingenuity of humankind? Stock market's been going nuts. I hope you're not placing your confidence there. Where are you placing your trust? May I encourage you to put your hope in God? Run to him with your worries. He will likely use our government and our medical intelligence and our technology and all those things as part of the solution. But look to God like the psalmist does here. the psalmist does not look to God because he didn't have medical technology, because he didn't have a government to support him. The psalmist doesn't look to God because he didn't have those things. He looks to God because God is the one to look to, no matter what time frame we're in. But I have to warn you that looking to God doesn't make it all go away. In verse 2, he says, "At night I stretched out on tiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted." It wasn't fixed right away. Prayer's not an easy fix. It's just where we want to start, whatever crisis, so that we can be intimately linked with God through it. Whatever your crisis, start with God. That's the first thing we learn from this psalm. This is the pattern we want to follow. The second starts in verse 3. It won't be easy. It's not going to be easy. Verse 3, "I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired." This is hard. We see the psalmist groaning, pondering. He's exhausted, but he can't sleep. Verse 4 says, "You kept my eyes from closing." Another translation says, "You held my eyelids open." It's like God is forcing him to stay awake, like he's blaming God for his restless nights. In trouble sleeping? We've all been there. Verse 7, "Will the Lord reject forever?" Listen to these questions. "Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" These are despairing questions. He's being honest with God. And the truth is, in the middle of our struggle, our feelings will tend to exaggerate things. Our feelings will exaggerate the situation. When we can't see the end, it feels like there isn't one. We're waiting for the school district to decide what's going to happen next, how long they're going to be closed. If they decide to move school to online for 8 weeks instead of 2, and we have to move to meeting like this for 2 months rather than 2 weeks, for some, it might start to feel like forever. We don't know how long this is going to go on. We don't know how far the distance is on this bridge. So we have questions too, and we wonder, will things get better soon? Will there be a food shortage? Will I ever be able to buy toilet paper again? Will I be able to keep my job? How will I pay my bills? How bad is it going to get? We have these questions. Listen, God can handle our questions. Ask him. Take them to him. He wants to take us by the hand and guide us through our doubts. So bring those questions to God. That's what the psalmist does here. It's better to be honest with God than to be fake and give him some kind of pious imitation of yourself. When you're talking to God, give him your real self. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to transform. So don't be fake with God. We have questions because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know the future. Our leaders are being very cautious in hopes of preventing things from getting really bad, and that's a good thing. And so far in Berks County, it hasn't gotten that bad. How many of you personally know someone who's suffering from coronavirus? Earlier in the week, I knew no one. Later in the week, I know one or two. We sent a prayer team email out this week about Sarah's brother, Jim. He's been suffering from coronavirus in London. Thankfully, we got an update. We sent that out yesterday. He's doing a lot better. His fever broke. Thank God for that. So it's creeping in. It's starting to touch us personally, but it's still out there in some ways. And in Berks County, we haven't been hit hard like some other places near us. We've got some shortages at the grocery store. There are a few items that we can't get a hold of or are hard to get a hold of. We're not used to that. We've got to deal with some disappointments, cancellations, the loneliness of isolation. Read an article this week about someone who had to cancel their wedding. Man, that's disappointing. My kids have had a lot of extracurricular events canceled, competitions, concerts, things that they had been working toward for a long, long time, and now they're just not going to happen. So right now, it's almost like this giant pause button has been pressed down, bringing our lives to a screeching halt in a lot of ways. And we don't know when that pause button is going to be released. But let's just stop and think about that for a minute. When life is normal, how often do we complain about how busy we are? Hectic is normal. But for most of us right now, hectic is not a word to describe our lives. And I think it'd be really good for us to ask, what is God giving us through this extended pause? What does he have for us here? The answer is time. Time that we don't usually have. Don't miss this gift that we're being given. We could easily flush this gift right down the drain just by continually watching TV, movies, and surfing the internet. We don't want to overload on those things. What if we took a few minutes just to stop and ask, what's most important to me? What's really most important to me? Is there any way that I can invest any of this gift of time into that? If you haven't done that yet, I encourage you to do that. Sometime today, this afternoon, this evening, stop and ask, what's most important to me? How can I use this time? This kind of pause comes about maybe once every 100 years. It's not very often that we get a chance like this. Not a problem to watch a movie or two. I do it too. But that shouldn't be the go-to about every night and the thing we constantly do. You don't want to shortchange yourself and miss out on what God is offering to you. And you can think about what that might be. For many of us, it can be family time. For many of us, who are the people that you live with right now? Unplug the electronics, look in each other's eyes, sit around the table, play games, go for walks, do a puzzle, read a book together. If you live alone, it's not as easy, but you can still do this. We can meet up with each other outside. We have to be cautious. You can go for walks and you can connect through the internet. You can connect with video call. And there are creative ways we can get creative to connect with each other, the people that we love. Take time to read that book you've been meaning to read. Biographies. Read a biography over this time. Take extended time with God you don't usually have time for. And I'm not at all suggesting that this is the reason God allowed this virus to hit us, but I do think that hitting the pause could be really, really good for us. So I hope you're not going to miss that. That was a tangent. Let's go back to the psalm. After the questions, the psalmist turns a corner and you start to see his spirit change. Look at verse 10. He begins to remember God's faithfulness. Then I thought, to this I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. So the psalmist, he begins to remember. Instead of being stuck where he is, he thinks back to the past. And what it says is he thinks back to the years of the right hand of the Most High. What is that? What are the years of the right hand of the Most High? Well, the right hand is usually referring to strength. The strong hand. The strong hand of God. Remembering the years of the strong hand of God. He's remembering the victories. He's remembering God's provisions, the great things he's done in the past. So the psalmist, he begins to ponder God's faithfulness in the past, and his spirit begins to turn. He remembers God's miracles. He meditates on his works and his mighty deeds. Maybe there's something for us there. And I wonder if we could just take a minute to do that right now. When you think back to some of your favorite Bible stories, which ones come to mind? You know, the ones where you really see God's power or his faithfulness. Go ahead and post that. What's your favorite Bible story that, as you think about, when I remember God's faithfulness, God's power, one of my favorite Bible stories, post it. Post it in the comments right now. Just do that. And the part of the reason is to share with other people. When the live stream is over, you can go back. You can circle back. You can read those stories again. There's some of you maybe for the very first time. One of my favorites, 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. And there's this king. His name is Hezekiah, king of Judah. And he's under attack by this other king named Sennacherib, king of Assyria. And it's a daunting situation. Hezekiah is severely outnumbered. He is surrounded. He's pretty much a dead man walking. He's done for. It's over. So what does he do? He goes straight to God. He doesn't rally up the troops and say, guys, get ready. We got to fight. I don't care. It's 10 to 1, but it doesn't matter. We're going to do this. He goes straight to God. That's what he does. That's his first move. And I want to share with you Hezekiah's prayer in 2 Kings 19. Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord, God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Give ear, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to the words Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste these nations and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone, fashioned by men's hands. Now, O Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. That's Hezekiah's prayer. And what happened? That night, God showed up. The end of chapter 19 says this. That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. The enemy is vanquished. The only thing Hezekiah needed to do was pray. And we are still being encouraged by that story. What stories remind you of God's power and his faithfulness? Share it with the rest of us. As we continue talking, put it on there if one comes to your mind, and you can encourage each other with those stories. Back to Psalm 77. The psalmist is reflecting on God's faithfulness in the past, and his mood begins to shift, right? And in verse 13, we see stability comes from faith. I want stability in this time. I bet you do too. Stability comes from faith. Look at verse 13. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. He's turned a corner here, right? God, you are great. Your ways are holy. Your power is real. And in verse 15, he says, in the past, you redeemed your people. And he's thinking about a specific event of redemption, which he talks about in the last verses. So in our case, in our situation, it's like we're on the bridge, right? And we're shaking and bouncing, but then we turn and we look back at the rock that we came from, and we remember this bridge is anchored to a pretty solid rock. And in a spiritual sense, if you are a follower of Jesus, you can look back at some of the amazing stories from the Bible. You can look back to some of the works of God in your own life, and you can be reminded that you are coming from a solid place. Looking back at God's faithfulness is a great way to remind ourselves that God is still faithful. So the psalmist, he remembers, you redeemed your people, and then he gets specific about it. And that's the last section where he talks about a specific event. I want you to try to figure out, what event is he talking about? And as soon as you do, post it on the comments. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. This is quite a storm. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. What's he talking about? the last few verses of the psalm, he gets specific about one of the greatest moments of Israel's history, when God cleared a path through the Red Sea, and all God's people crossed over to safety. Did somebody get it right? They comment?
Ed,
thank you, Ed. Good job. The crossing of the Red Sea is this event that comes up again and again in the Bible as one of the most remembered and most cherished stories of God's faithfulness of all time. I have no idea how many times it comes up, but it's a lot. And God's people would remember, if he can do that, what do I have to be afraid of? Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God got his people safely across the Red Sea. God is going to get us to the other side of this bridge, no matter how long it is. We don't know how long the bridge is. We don't need to know. We just need to trust God. And for us, in this day, in this time of history, we have a pretty awesome story that we can go back to too, don't we? You can read about it at the end of all four Gospels in the New Testament. The last few chapters recount the story, our story, the death and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our story. And Romans chapter 8 give us the beautiful implications of our most treasured story. Romans 8, 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God was willing to send his own son to die a brutal death on a Roman cross for us, is there anything he would not do for our good? There's no wall he won't kick down. There's no lie he won't tear down. In his passionate pursuit of us and our good. If you're a follower of Jesus, there's nothing that can happen in your life that God won't use for good. Jesus was the greatest gift God could give us, and that gift proved he's a God who's for us, not against us. I know some of you have some songs running through your head right now. Don't worry about the bridge. It's going to sway, it's going to bounce, but God is right here. Take your worries to him. Let him calm you. And then, with that settled spirit, you can look around and see how he wants to use you while you're still on the bridge with the rest of us. The psalmist found his peace, and we can find our peace in the same place. So I hope Psalm 77 can be that a place that you keep going back to when you feel like things are out of control for you and you wonder what God is up to. Be real with God. Ask him those questions. He's okay with that. So you may want to spend more time in Psalm 77 this week. It's so applicable for the time that we're in right now. So I hope it's a blessing to you. I'm going to switch gears now to the updates and opportunities. It's been kind of a busy week for me and some of us at Cornerstone. I told you last Sunday, in times like this, the church needs to look for how God might want to use us to make a difference. There are people who are struggling. There are people who are in need. There are greater needs now than there are in other times. And some of you have already had opportunities to serve people you know. So thank you, those of you who are taking initiative. Thank you for that. We want to be careful as we think of ideas and opportunities. We want to be cautious, but we want to be courageous. And we need wisdom to know how to balance those two things. But we have been working and planning and strategizing with some other pastors and other churches how we can find those people who are outside of our relational circles who are in greatest need. Part of the biggest difficulty in helping people is finding those who need help. So we've been working on this idea. This idea is to offer grocery shopping for the elderly, those who are housebound, to offer to do the shopping for them. So how do we find those people? I went to the borough office. I spoke with Mayor Jim Schlegel. I spoke with Police Chief Craig Summers to see if they might be able to help us find those residents who are housebound, need help buying groceries through this scary season. They don't want to go out. KCP is more than happy to get the word out. We have a lot of outlets to get the word out, to share that with people. We've already started this shopping ministry. We've reached out to the residents of Saucony Cross, where we have a weekly Bible study, which is on hold for now. And we've already had a couple people come back from Saucony saying, yes, please help me, and we're able to help them. But we want to expand that out even bigger. We want to expand that out basically to Northeast Berks, to Kutztown area, Fleetwood, Olean, because we have churches in that whole region that want to be part of this. So this is a little bit scary because we don't know how many people are going to respond. We don't know how many will take us up on the offer. So we're looking to get a long list of volunteers who are willing to shop for people in need, like once a week. So we're developing this, and Brian, Pastor Brian is leading the way in that and organizing and being the coordinator of that. But we need a lot of volunteers so that not any one person is overwhelmed. So if you want to be a volunteer, you can actually post that in the comments and we will track you down. So you're welcome to jump in that and find out more about it. If you'd like to be one of those possible volunteers. Right now we have 9 volunteers from 2 churches, and we have probably about 5 churches that are recruiting volunteers and asking others in their congregations, starting maybe today and this week, who else would like to be part of that. Thursday afternoon had a video conference session with 8 pastors in the area to brainstorm about how we can make this work and other ideas that might be helpful for our community. So we're just looking to get the word out and help those people who need help. So you can help. You can be part of this. If you are healthy, you can be a volunteer. We're not taking anyone to deliver groceries if they have any essence of sickness whatsoever. Doesn't have to be the coronavirus. If you have a sniffle or a sneeze, you're not going. But if you're healthy, you can help volunteer. And if you get healthy, you can help volunteer. But the other way you can help is by helping get the word out. And you can get the word out through Facebook, through other social media, whatever you like. And we actually created some wording for you. If you want to use it, you can copy it, paste it, you can change it if you want. But this is some wording. We're going to post it right now in our comments that you can look at, and you can say, you know what, do I want to help get the word out? And you can post that right now. I don't care if you just jump in and do that right away or you wait till later. But it's fairly simple, but I'm just going to read it right now for those of you who may be listening and don't have access. Here's the message we're trying to get out. Local friends, if you or someone you know is struggling to get through the coronavirus crisis, I have a connection. Help is available. You need grocery shopping assistance? Have miscellaneous errands? Want prayer? Please reach out to me if you could use some help, and I'll get you connected. And if you're willing to post that, if you're willing to get that message out there, if someone responds to you, here's all you need to do. First of all, find out what they need. If they need help with grocery shopping or help with prayer, whatever that is, find out what they need, and then ask them if you can have someone from your church get a hold of them. Get their permission, and then you can contact your church, and they can contact them and find out what they need and how to meet the need. So all you are is a link in the chain to get the word out and then make the connection. So if you're willing to do that, we would be delighted. And if you're willing to be a volunteer, that would be a big deal too. So we have 9 and counting. We hope to have 25 soon so that not everyone is overwhelmed. There's one other idea I'll mention to you briefly. We're talking about how the economic situation is going to cause financial burdens for a lot of people as people are laid off for weeks at a time. Hopefully unemployment will be kicking in and some of that burden will be released. But we're hoping to start a GoFundMe account where people can give to just help relieve people who are really stressed by the financial burden, whether it's to help with groceries or gasoline or possibly even make a rent payment. Depends on how much money comes into this fund. That's something we'd like to do. It's not ready yet, but here's what is ready. Every year, around this time, Cornerstone has what we call a first fruits offering. And that's, it goes back to the farming days when they would have their very first harvest and they would give a portion of that to God as an offering and say, God, I want to give you the very first and the very best. So we have a first fruits offering every spring. We were going to do it on Easter Sunday. Now we're changing it. It's going to be kind of an open offering that, and the timing for us, it's more around tax refund time. That's kind of a first fruits opportunity where you might have some more money than other times. So for those who have not lost a lot of income and are not seriously struggling, we're giving you an opportunity to give to help those who are. So the first fruits offering 100% is going to go to help people in our area, in our region that are in financial crisis. We're not going to give away cash. We're going to be careful and cautious how we do it, but we're also going to be generous. So if you want to be part of that, you can do that. You can give, you know, we're not meeting together, so there's no basket to pass. There's nowhere we can hand somebody a check. So there are two ways that you can give to this offering, and I'll put them on the screen right now. The first way is through your own bank's online bill pay. And that, maybe you pay your bills that way. That's what I do. It's not really a bill, but you can plug in Cornerstone and the church address, and you can set that up and send a check. As long as you put first fruits offering or coronavirus help, something like that in the memo, that's where that money will go, all of it, 100%. There's the old-fashioned way, too. You mail a check to Cornerstone, P.O. Box 224. But for the next several weeks, we're going to have that open, and you can give to the first fruits offering, and that's going to help people in need as the needs come in. And as we help people with grocery shopping, we're going to find out about other needs, too. So if you want to be part of that, we invite that. Of course, we still have most of our normal monthly expenses as well. And if you'd like to give to that, you can do that too. If you don't put anything in the memo, it'll go towards our normal monthly expenses. And just to try to make it easier for you. And we don't talk about money much around here. That's just not something we do. But in this situation, we just have to let you know. We want to let you know that there's a way to give online through our website, kutztownchurch.com. That just opened up the end of this week, just a couple days ago. So you can check that out at our website if you want to set up something online. But we hope you'll be generous if you're able. And if you're feeling tension, if you're feeling financial stress, don't feel tension or pressure to give. We know that times are different right now, and some may be able to and some may not, and that is totally fine. So we're coming together, and there are multiple ways we can serve each other. We can give, we can pray, and we can help. And I hope that you're going to do many of those things as you're able. And as you gain confidence that God is carrying us through, He is going to take us through this. So I hope that Psalm 77 has been a blessing to you. Just going to remind you again, the last part of this chapter, he kind of comes full circle and he remembers what God had done. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And God is going to lead his people today, just as he did his people then, because God is still the same faithful God. I want to pray with you, and usually I don't use prayers that have been written, but this morning I want to, because I got this prayer. A pastor friend in Pottstown prayed this for me and his prayer team this morning. I got it at 6:30 this morning. And so I want to pray this for you and for us. Dear God, I pray for each person who's joined us online today, and even for those who are going to watch this later. God, protect them in this season. Keep them safe. Protect them from sickness. Protect them from fear. Give them faith, hope, and love. God, use each of us as light and salt in this world. Help us to find safe and creative ways to love our neighbors and share Jesus. And God, for those at high risk, help them as they're isolated. Protect them from loneliness, from anxiety. For those caring for school-aged kids, Lord, help them to parent well. Help them as they do classwork and keep the peace in their homes. For college and high school students, Lord, give them direction and the ability to finish their schoolwork away from campus. And be with those seniors who will be missing out on celebrations and possibly graduations. For healthcare workers, God, bless their hands, give them strength, protect them from harm, and help them as they manage work and home. For business leaders, give them wisdom as they lead. Provide for their needs and help them as they care for their employees. For those out of work, God, give them hope and be their supply. Strengthen our families, strengthen our marriages, build your church, and heal our land. We pray for those hard hit by this pandemic and ask, God, that you would work in the midst of this. Help us to trust you no matter what, and show us what we can do. Amen. Last thing we're going to do together is I'm going to sing an old song that just reminds us again of God's faithfulness. And you are welcome to listen. You can just let the words lift your spirit if you want. Or if you want, we're going to put the words up on the screen and you can sing with us if you'd like to. Right where you are, doesn't matter. We're singing to God anyway. So this is a song people have been singing for almost 100 years now. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And my daughters are going to join to help us sing this song together. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings of mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.